Gracious Heavenly Father, this morning we approach you, O Lord. The greatness of heart, Father, for your love, for your truth, for your grace and your mercy. We are here this morning, Father, not by chance. Because every day, Father, is a day that you have made. And to us, Father, your children, you have set aside a day, a time, where we should meet up with you, Lord. And with the rest of the family of God, to fellowship, worship, and to be judged by thy word. You have called us out of this world, Father, to be a different people. As it was when you called Israel out of all the nations of the world. And you set them aside, you give them a token, the circumcisions of their foreskin, that there will be a people, O Father, different from the rest of all the people and all the nations round about them. And as Israel, Lord, is a people set aside for you to bear testimony of the living God, and so we speak to Israel today. And therefore, Lord, there must be a change. There must be an identity, Father. And that identity, O Father, of your children, who testified it, they are yours. Then the identification, Father, is with your holy word. We thank you, Father, for today now as we approach thy word. We pray, Lord, that you, your presence be here and move into every heart. And let everyone know, Father, it is your word. Yeah, we are being taught here, Father, for one purpose, that we may prepare ourselves as to the coming of our Lord, to be a part of that bride that are taken out, that is taken out, Father, to meet you in the air. Because we know not everyone that cometh unto you and says, Lord, Lord, I've done this in your name. I've gone to church. I've been to church every Sunday, and so on and so forth, Lord. Because many will come and stand before you saying that, and yet, Father, in that day, you will say to them, I never knew you. So, Father, we ask of your grace now that we truly be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That our life reflected it, O Father, that we might be truly the bride of Jesus Christ. We come here this time now to you, Lord. Open our minds and our hearts to receive. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Open with me to the book, to the Bible, to the book of Hebrew. To the Hebrew, the book of Hebrew, chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I want to notice here, the subject today is this: grace, mercy, and truth. Three words that we probably have many times, you know, hurting the preaching of a sermon or the teaching of the Word of God. Grace, mercy, and truth. Here is Paul's epistle to the Hebrew children, those who are converted. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Here only two words, grace and mercy. Let us go to other verses. Go to the book of Genesis, chapter 19, verse 19. Genesis, chapter 19, verse 19. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in your sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Again, when we talk about grace and mercy, the reason why we are on this subject, first of all, grace and mercy, then we come to truth, is that because recently, Brother Paul and I, when we sent Brother Blessing off at the airport, we met up with some believers there. And it is a very common thing that I have heard. And so when that believer said this, it doesn't come as a surprise to me, because many of you will say that one of these days if you don't hold to the Word of God. You see, this brother here, this believer, he has been through a hard time. I don't want to mention what the hard time is, but also because of the situation in among the believers. When I talk about believers, I'm talking about people who follow William Marion Branham's what we call ministry, and the message that he brought to us. That's why people always call themselves the end time message believer, ETM, short form for end time message, like ETM, I always say this, or an end time message believer. And some people, you know, it's been said, sure, are you an end time message believer? Do you really believe in the message of the hour, and so on and so forth? They would like to use that word, I mean, that phrase or the tag or the title. You know, just that people, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Methodist, that sort of thing. Say, are you a Christian? Oh, no, no, I'm an end time message believer. Things like that. So I think the most important, I would like to call myself true worshipper of God. You know, or believer of God's word. But sometimes it just has become a problem. So anyway, this particular believer said this, you know, we are asking away the fellowship and all this thing. You know, he hasn't been to fellowship for a long time, and then of course because of the situation in Singapore, these churches are splintered up and all kind of strange doctrine being taught. So And he made this remark on the table, and I think that he affected somebody else. That, in fact, you know, Brother is trying to help him come to the world. And this brother said this, he said, you know, brother, and this, no, brother, it is not about all this keeping long hair and things like that. It's the grace. It's grace of God. I believe in grace of God. And he wanted to perhaps say many other things about how he should dress and things like that. Perhaps, you know, not necessarily perhaps. I don't know what he's trying to say, but he was talking about not, it's not keeping a long hair, and then he says grace. Let me tell you this, brother and sister. Whenever you find the word grace, it always comes with the word mercy very closely in the Bible. We all know in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. I hope you are well acquainted with that verse in the Bible. Because every Christian will take that verse. Even as much as the Bible will tell you, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is that right in the book of Romans? And the wages of sin is death. That's what we all know. These are very famous evangelical verses being used, or scripture being used like evangelists or preachers. First of all, to know, yes, the Bible said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? Short, the word glory of God always refers to His word. The glory of God is His word. It's His standard. We come short of that standard of God's word. Right? And the Bible said, therefore the wages of sin, therefore is death. Death is separation from God. You know what wages is, right? It's the payment. You see? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, His Son. We all know that. And yet the Bible continues to say in the book of Ephesians, Paul said, chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved, by grace are you saved through faith, through the revelation that God gave you. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourself, not of work, Not any man should boast. It is a gift of God. Right? I want you to look closely at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. If you are not familiar with that. For by grace are you saved through faith. And it's not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of work, lest any man should boast. Right? So what is this gift? By grace, God gives you this faith. A revelation to recognize Jesus Christ as your Savior. That you need Him as your Savior. Because the Bible said, Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And whom the Father give me shall come to me. And no man take it out of my hand. Jesus said that. You all know that, don't you? If you don't know, tell me. I would like to show you some of the verses here and there if you do not know what is important to your life. You see, this is a basic teaching that we all should know. Salvation is a gift. Nothing to do with you. Nothing on your part. Whatever you do, your work, your goodness, your righteousness, has nothing to do with that salvation that God gives you. He just gives it to you. Whether you're a rich man, a poor man, fat man, or thin man, or tall, or whatever you are, white, black, blue, color, whatever your race may be. If God gives it to you, He gives it to you. No, that's what it's called, gift. Gifts are free anyway. Right? You don't have to pay for it. Someone else has paid for it. If I give you, well, Sister Alice is going to give me an iPhone. She's going to pay for it. So if she paid for it, it means I don't want to pay for it. Someone paid for it. She already paid for it. So if Christ paid for the gift of eternal life for you, you have nothing to do with it. You just receive it. You see, if given to you, you don't want to have it, it is not yours. As long as you don't take it, it is not yours. And the Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. This is this faith. Faith is a revelation to make you understand that Jesus Christ is the Lord, He is the Savior, He is your Master. He is the one who gives you the anointing and understanding. All that which God gives to you is packaged in Jesus Christ. Right? It's just there. Not of yourself, you have nothing to do with it. It's just a gift. So you understand that? So, we sing the song, Mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen, and my soul cast down. But mercy rewrote my life. You see, it was grace that came and gave mercy to us. And our life then is being rewritten. And we become a child of God. You get the concept, you understand that now? Okay. Therefore, when you deal with grace, brother and sister, we are dealing with salvation. That's all. Yes? Listen. Now, when God chose Israel, when God chose Abraham, and from Abraham, Isaac came forth. From Isaac came forth Jacob. And God said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because each one of them, not just because God chose Abraham first. Of course, Abraham had experience with God. So God, Abraham knew who this Yahweh is. Then Isaac came forth. Now Isaac doesn't know about the God of his father. Yeah, he even taught about the God of his father, but he had never met him. So my daughter, my son, you know, I know Yahweh. I know my God. Doesn't mean that I know my God, they would know. I teach them about my God. But it's their own personal experience to know this God of mine. You see, when God chose Abraham, Sarah, his wife, wasn't a believer. Do you all know that? Huh? The wife doesn't know. Abraham told Sarah, look, God said, of course, at that time there was, Abraham was 75 and Sarah was 65, right? So she hasn't gone through menopause yet, huh? Those days, they could live as long as 80 years old. That's after the flood. So she hadn't gone through menopause yet. Okay, she still have a lot of, you know, ache in her for reproduction. Only that there's no ability to conceive. And Abraham told her, he said, look, my God told me that I'm going to have a son. And Sarah said, okay. Now 1 year passed, 2 years passed, 3 years, 5 years, I still don't have it. You know, I still don't have a child. Nothing comes up here. You know, tummy is not getting bigger. Are you sure your God is talking to you? So Sarah doesn't know anything about Yahweh. You see. So the same thing with Isaac. Until Isaac met Yahweh, then he can claim, the God of my father is my God. And after Isaac came forth, Jacob. Yeah, but Jacob doesn't know about the God of Abraham, his grandfather, neither the God of his father Isaac. The only level was only when Jacob fought, wrestled with that angel, remember? And he said, oh no, now I know who I have met. Then he put a pillar there, an altar there, and started to worship the Lord. He said, this is the gate of heaven. This is the house of God's bread. You see, until you meet Yahweh, you meet the God personally, you will not know Him. That's why when you all come here, we say, we accept the Lord as our Savior. We need to let Him know Him. And not just say, yeah, I know He's my God, He's my Bible, I believe in the Bible, this and that. That's a lot of talks among the people out there in the denomination. And this here is not a denomination. I want you to know that. When God gave us this particular message, sent to us through William Branham, to get us out from all this confusion, out from a system, out from this bondage, prison that has no bar. And all these prisons out there are called, have various names. No, you know, we have Queenstown prison, Changi prison, right? Yeah, you have Lutheran prison, you have Methodist prison, you have Pentecostal charismatic prison. Do you realize that? We should never be in any of this kind of prison. If you want to be a prisoner, Paul said, be a prisoner of Jesus Christ. But Paul said, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul was once held in the prison of Pharisees. Remember that. The greatest fear is not for a person to be cast into a physical prison. Because Paul said, I've been in prison many times for preaching the word of God. Right? It's nothing to be fearful to be in a physical prison. The most fearful thing that you should remember is to be a prisoner of a system, an ism. A lot of people don't realize, they think they're okay. They can't do all that religious spirit. You know what I mean? Talking about? And they are spiritually under control. And you don't know it. You understand? So when we talk about grace, we talk only about salvation. Let's go to another verse. 2 John 1:3. 2 John 1:3 here. Look at what it says here. Alright? Alright, the second epistle of John, chapter 3. Grace be with you. Mercy and peace. Y'all got it? Okay. Grace be with you. Mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in love and truth. How do you find the word truth here now? Okay? Grace be with you. Mercy and peace. From God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. So, now we have the Bible connected to this word truth here now. So, here is John's epistle. In fact, whenever you read about the word grace and truth in the passage of scripture, continue to read down, and you realize that the writer will deal with you of getting you into the truth. Grace and mercy without truth is just that much. You understand? You just like you say you buy a chicken pie, and all that you bite is, well, it's smell of chicken, you know, but there's no real chunky chicken meat in there. So that's only so much for them. So a lot of time when you buy certain food, you know, drinks, especially whatever you have, and sometimes many of them, they are what you call flavors. They are not the real stuff. What do you have? Your chemical added to it. And you pay for it, and that's all that you have. So people say, I have grace. I'm a Christian. You go to church, do this, do that, but you know what? They don't go beyond that. That's so much as for that. Paul talks about we go from glory to glory. We move from grace to grace, from truth to truth, faith to faith. Isn't that right? We have to keep on moving to understand what God wants us to see. Why? Because God has a plan and a purpose for you and for me. If you don't know the plan and the purpose of God in the Bible, that's why you do not know. That's why I said this, I've been preaching this for years. And frankly, the only one who preached hard in this message. Why? People don't see in it. Look, those followers of Barabbas, they don't see the plan and purpose of God. All they have is they say, oh, Barabbas said, this and that, this and that, and then they go right here. You know, yesterday I was going on the internet, and I was looking through the article that I'm going to show you. Of course, you probably have read it. And that reminded me of what somebody wrote against me, because they were commenting. So I went to this website of this Cohen Record. And he, of course, he removed the article that he, you know, he was speaking against me. He was writing all sorts of rubbish. I don't even know the man, as I said this before. It was because someone whom he tried to proselyte, and that person refused to go. He bought him a ticket to go down South Africa, but he turned out that he did not go to the convention, and he was upset. He's an American man, and he's Jew, Cohen, huh? You know Cohen? Cohen means from the Levite tribe. So he has ministry called the Messianic Jews, okay? Or Jewish Christian. That means Jew or converted Christian. And he called himself, if you can see the picture in his website, he called himself Bishop Reichardt, Man of God, okay, on his photograph. And yet, I don't know the man, because he tried proselyte that African brother in Malawi, and he didn't go down to South Africa to attend the convention. He was upset and found that, oh, later on, somehow he came and maybe do some search on the internet, I have no idea. And he found that he had a photograph on my website. So he began to attack me like I was the one who caused the problem. And then he attacked William Branham, attacked me and all this. And then he twisted off a lot of things that he said was a presumption. And then that is why I replied to him. And he gets all worked up again, and he put another article on it. So you could see how the matter. If you know what happened now on his website, the photograph where he put himself, his face there, and called himself Bishop Reichardt, Man of God, he removed that now. And yet he believed that he is, and he called himself a man God made. He believed that he was called to have a ministry to go around the world too. So a lot of people have this arrogant spirit. And so now he removed that website, he wiped the web page, and yet he still makes some sarcastic remark. Two lines, I think, on that website. You see, this is the thing that people do. Do you know the plan and purpose of God in your life? What is God's plan? As far as you know, if you know the Bible, as I said, is not written for Tom, Dick and Harry. It is not written for just anyone who goes to church and says, I'm a Christian. It is written for a people. A people that is going to make the bride. The people who are the rib of his sight, or the spirit that came from his sight, they are supposedly selected. Not Israel. God selected them, right? Came out of Egypt. It's estimated 2 million Jewish people, plus more than 1 million or so mixed. That means those are mixed marriage, and some Egyptian to follow, some Persian that came out when they were in Egypt, they follow Israel. But out of the 2 million at least, of those who are Israel, how many went into the promised land? 20 and above. 20 and above all died out there in the wilderness. Only 20 and below are the ones that went into the promised land. But I know all Israel, his own, and I always ask this question. Jesus can have 12 disciples. Is that right? And one of them, a devil. And out of the 12, Jesus said, some of you here will not see death until they see the kingdom of God come in glory. Is that right? Come with power. He said that. And everybody is looking around, the 12 disciples looking around each other, because Jesus said, some of you will not see death until you see the kingdom of God come with power. And then 3 days later, Jesus took 3 men, Peter, James, and John. Right? Peter, James, and John. All the 12, he selected Peter, James, and John quietly. You know, without the rest of them knowing. And brought them to Mount Transfiguration. And there he was transfigured, right? Before their eyes in the vision. After that, Jesus told them, don't tell anybody about this. What they experienced was they saw the kingdom of God come with power. Because there is a transformed life. It was a vision that Jesus was transfigured. You know what I mean by transfiguration? Transfigured, changed. And they saw Moses and Elijah standing beside Jesus Christ, right? Moses was the law. Elijah was the prophets or the prophetic ministry. And the law and the prophet were unto John. And these two, law and prophet, testify of Jesus Christ. So those that keep the word, that's the law, and the prophets, watching the prophecy and the word, always consummate in Christ, will be transfigured, will be transformed. That is the power of the word of God. That is the purpose of God's word, is to transform you. And Paul said, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is the place up here. Brother said, this is where the problem really is. Right? Get this problem here fixed. And then get the word down in here. As our King David says, the word, O Lord, I have kept in my heart, that I may not sin against you. When you take and reason with the word up here, and you get the devil to find your heart, and you wonder, you give in, then you find that you form temptation in the sin. There's the greatest battle I ever fought is right here in the battlefield of the mind. Huh? Isn't that so? That's what Paul said. The thing that I should do, I do not. The thing that I should not do, I do it. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who can save me? That's why you need the power of the Word of God. If you don't have the Word of God, you cannot win the battle easily. Please. And you know one thing? God did not expect you to win every battle. But He expects you to fight. To run the race. Is that not true? Oh. Yeah, the first thing when you become a Christian, you have a problem already. You are not ready. And then you smile, eh? The day you become a Christian, that's why I always like the testimony of the Indian chief, great Indian chief. When he became a Christian, oh, he got so much problem in his head. After that, he came to Brother Branham and said, you know what, oh my God, what is this, what do I have this problem, Brother Branham? And Brother Branham said, what problem? You know, before I was a Christian, I don't have this white dog and black dog fighting here. But now that I became a Christian, the black dog and white dogs are fighting. Oh, Brother said, oh, yeah, okay, who wins? I like it, who wins? Indian chief, oh, if I feed the black dog wins. If I feed the white dog wins. That's right. You see, the representation, the Indian chief was using the illustration that he trying to get across the program. The black dog is those temptations. The devil and the world will try to bring you down. The white dog is the representation of the purity of the Word of God, the Spirit of God that's fighting for you too. That's what the Bible said. There is war in heaven. This is the heavens. Heaven is the space. The angels of God are fighting with the angels of the devil. Right? They're fighting for your soul. That's the reason why the days of Daniel, he was praying for an understanding. And the angel was sent to give it, to bring the interpretation to him, the news to him. on the way as the angel came, the devil was fighting against him. Don't you know? That's why sometimes even Hollywood makes some movie about Lucifer on earth fighting with Gabriel and fighting with Michael and fighting with Simeon, the other angels in the Hebrew book. We only find two names that we know is Gabriel and Michael. Yeah. There are wars in heaven here. They are fighting. And don't you think that this is the battlefield? We go out there, the five senses of the physical body, and that's what the devil is doing. It's a carnality. We're all born in sin, and the devil is using these five senses to manipulate you. What you see, what you smell, what you feel. And he'll use that. And the devil is fighting on your behalf. You know. So, but grace and truth, grace and mercy, grace and truth is what we want. Now let us go on. Go to the book of John, chapter 1. Let us see what it is all about. John chapter 1, verse 14. Alright, verse 1, you know, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? And then in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Right? You see, when God gives you the grace, and that grace is to give you the revelation of faith to see who Jesus Christ is. And if you see who, and if you did see who Christ really is, you will come to realize that He was the one that is full of that grace that God gave to you, and at the same time, full of truth. Huh? In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh, and we beheld His glory. That's the reason why the Word of God is the glory of God. We see it manifest. We see it revealed to the power that God wanted to show the world. That's what John was saying. Then we beheld His glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father. To ever understand all that you need to understand about God is to understand the Word. That's grace and glory. Grace is given to you to have faith in Christ Jesus. Then when you see Him as the truth, the Word made manifest, then you have that, what you need. A lot of people, they don't. Say, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm in a church, you know, and I believe in Jesus God, my Savior. That's it. And then they come and tell me, oh, it's all about grace. Forget. It's all grace. All based on grace. It's not about how to keep long hair, how to dress right, how to behave. Hey, let me tell you something. If you say you have grace of God and you misbehave, you don't do according to the Word of God, you have disgrace, the grace of God. Your grace has become a disgrace. Think about it. Look at what the denomination of Christians behave, how they have behaved. There's no difference. The Buddhist monk is better than many Christians. You have seen that? Some Buddhists have become better. Behavior, better person than a Christian. What is our testimony? Yeah. The Word of God is saying, then where is my glory? God the Father have invested His glory in the Son. Jesus Christ said that. It's only the Father have eternal life. The Son does not have it. But the Father gave the Son the life. And I, the Son, have given you the life. God give Jesus the life. Give Him the glory. Give Him a name above every name. And He gave the name to you when you took in the water baptism. When He gave you that glory of His Word, the truth, for you to live that life. And you spurred it. Jesus Christ lived the life of the Father. He was as human as could be when He knew that He's going to die. You know one thing, brother and sister? Every one of us are born to live. But Jesus, the day when he was born to die, He knew His mission. He knew He had to face death at the age of 33. a young age, a prime age. Many of you are now 30 years old now. I've got some of you think that you're 16 years old, you think you know a lot. When you reach 21, you get the key. So-called 21 is supposed to be, you maybe have a birthday kit with a key shape, huh? Key what? Key to what? I mean, what was the key? 21, key to what? Key to your doing all the silly things in the world? Right? I was excited when I was 21. But you know what? You see my photograph at 21, when I was sitting at the table celebrating my birthday, full of books, full of all the Christian books. I celebrate my birthday with the Word of God. That's what I want. I want the key to know, Lord, what do you want me to do? You see, the thing is that if we don't live the kind of life, it is terrible. Jesus, God, has a human as he could be. He said, oh, but he is God. Hey, look. Everybody said, he's God. He can do this, he can do that. Let me tell you something. When Jesus was on earth, he was man. But the power that was God's love was in him. Let me him the God-man. Remember the Word was incarnate in him in the day when he was baptized. Right? Before that, he had no power. He had nothing. He could not do anything. And he cannot even heal a sick. Nothing. The Catholic will tell you that he did. That's nonsense. Until he was anointed, he had no power. Actually, there are men who claim to say, I'm a preacher. I want to do God the service. I want to go to the pulpit and preach. If you are not called of God, you are not anointed of God, you cannot preach. Make sure you understand what I'm talking about. You see? And so, Jesus got in the last few days of his life. Do you know how he felt? I remember John when he went to go take a result for your biopsy. Right? You feel terrible. Each day approaching here and there to the day, get the result whether it's cancer or not cancer. You are feeling cold inside out and whatever, right? Isn't it? You all know those things when you get the final result, especially when you see a doctor and suspect some cancer and they take a biopsy and say, come next week for your result. You know? I can tell you, don't even know what the hell. Can't even digest the food properly. And Jesus Christ has to face death. And that's the one he prayed 3 times. He told him this hour, pray with me for an hour. And he went on there and prayed. And they were all praying. Went there to pray and he prayed. He prayed. He prayed in agony. So, Father, if it's possible, remove the cup. And God remained silent. Let me tell you, sometimes when God remains silent, the answer is no. I will not remove the cup. The answer is simply no. When God remains silent, you know why God remains silent? Because it's written in His Word. And Jesus knew that it was already in His Word. The prophet spoke of His death. Is that right? That He will be chastised, He will be whipped. He went up to His Father, if possible, remove this cup. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He came back, said, the disciples all sleeping. There's no urgency. Because they do not know what's going on. They did not know the plan of God. Remember that? His first day, remember the soldier came and Peter said, stick out the sword from the soldier and cut off the soldier's ear. If they had knew the plan of God, they would not have done. He would not have done that. Right? Yes or no? And Jesus went back and prayed again. Again. I mean, sometimes we do that, huh? We ask God for this, and nothing happened. A few days later, we pray again, nothing happened. Right? You see, God will never tell you anything twice. When it's in the Word, it's in the Word. He tells the people, Lord, show me. It's what the better is. Jesus said, the right one. What do you need to ask them? The Bible shows you it's the right one. Go for your answer. Go, please tell me. Okay? Is what about you need Jesus' name the right one? Show me a sign. Okay? You can pray as long as you want to pray. You will never get an answer because the answer is already in the Bible. Simple as that. Do you understand that? So we are looking at this. Verse 17. 1 John 17. For the law was given by Moses. By grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace. was God's grace. Jesus was God's gift to you. He was God's grace to you. Huh? But in Him, there's truth. Don't deny the truth. Don't tell them, oh, it's all grace, go grace. And you live your life as rotten as could be. There's no two ways about it. You see, a mango seed planted were bad mangoes. Right? Not apples. You understand? You know. It doesn't bear two different kind of fruits. As Jesus got in the parable said, if it is a corrupt tree, he only bring forth corrupt fruit. Huh? If it is the seed that is rotten and sour, you can never produce sweet fruit. It will always, even if you put sugar, you know, you fertilize the root with sugar. You think that apple will be sweet or the mango tree will be sweet? Try and see what happens. All you get is a lot of ants. Yeah? And the tree will one day just break off because too much acid or sugar stuff there. And the ant is eating into the root. You cannot change the nature of that tree. And if your nature is the Word of God in you, you will produce the fruit of life. Colossians 1:6. Colossians 1:6. Which is common to you? And in verse 5. For hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where of you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is common to you, as it is in all the world, and bring forth fruit as it do also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Huh? Colossians 1:6. The last part is what I want you to do, to notice. Alright? As it grew also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Do you know the grace of God in truth, or do you know the grace of God in some man-made idea? Huh? You understand? Okay? Now, let's make some issue here. The issue right here is this. You see the brothers, you know, sometimes I just don't blame him for that, for that kind of a word that's being uttered, because of the thing that's going around. And in his frustration, he just wants to believe and based on God, and grace, based on grace. Let me say this, grace is given to you. Every one of us who is born of the Spirit of God, born again, of the Spirit of God, as eternal life. Yes? Because once you're born, you see, God doesn't give you a gift and then take back. I mean, children does, huh? Children do that, huh? Maybe between Cain and Darren. I give you this one, right? You're getting, being unreasonable with me. Give me back what I give it to you, right? Normally you do that. Some children do that, huh? But when God gives you a gift, He doesn't say, hey, what are you doing? Give it back to me. Once God gives you eternal life, He cannot take it back. Do you know that? He cannot take it back. Only when you rejected Him and you blasphemed Him, then you have crossed the path of unpardonable sin. Anything that God does for you, anything that God is doing, you speak against the Holy Spirit, you have committed the unpardonable sin. Do you see? You know? Okay? Because what is given to you, God will never take it back. Once saved, always saved. That is true. Hmm? Correct? And yet eternal life can be lost when you lost it. When you don't want it. When you reject God, as Judas is correct. Remember Judas had the power to cast out demons too? Yes. Pray for the sick. Heal the sick. Open blind eyes and make the lame walk. He had the power. He was given the power. That's what Jesus said. A lot of people have the power today. To heal the sick and pray for the sick and all these things. But they will come to Him in the last day and say, Lord, I've done this, done that. Jesus said, I never knew you. Why? Because you're a worker of iniquity. You work because you don't believe my truth. You only want this gift for doing whatever you want to make the name for yourself. We see a lot of charismatic preachers today. They make a name for themselves. You see. Okay, now, let us go to another verse. 1 Corinthians 11. Here, this brother, as I said, want to base it all on just grace and truth. But let me show you this chart here. And I think that we are all familiar with the chart. It is the seven church ages. Alright, we have the seven church ages. Now, we are living at this part here. Now this is the beginning of the church age in here. Alright, the beginning of the church age, when the Holy Ghost came down. And the church started. The church started. For the first 20 years, the church never go into a system. Alright? They all fellowship in houses. Wherever they can find a place to fellowship, they fellowship. But after an apostle, one after another apostles died. That's when other men comes in and begin to organize themselves into a system. The first thing they come was Nicolaitanism. There is somebody come and says, I'm the one in charge now, I'm the leader. You've got to follow what I say, this and that, this and that. Let me say one thing to you here. This is not an organization. You don't have to believe what I say. But if what I say is the truth of God, you follow the word of God, you don't follow me. Paul said to Timothy, you follow me as I follow Christ. That is to say, you follow Christ, the word that I follow. If it is true, you follow. Okay? You're not obligated to me, you're obligated to the word of God. You understand that truth? Okay. So what happened after the church went to a system? Paul's time. Paul was the Ephesus, the messenger to the age. So what was the message in this age? Every age, there are altogether seven churches in Asia, in the book of Revelation. Let us go to it first. Forget about Corinthians. Let us go to Revelation. Alright, the first church is in chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. Alright, these things say, he that holds the seven star in his right hand, who walk in the midst of the seven golden candlestick, I know your work, and your labor, and your patience, and how that you cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and have found them liars, and have borne, and have patience, and for my name's sake have labored, and has not failed. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, when thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first work. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. So you see what happened. Here's the day of Pentecost. Okay? After Jesus resurrected, ascended to heaven. Okay, for 40 days later, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down, and it just started. Now, the church that began here was perfect as could be. They are patient, they have love, that's what it says here. Right? But by and by, what was it that God was against them? It was they have love, their first love. What was this first love? Let me tell you, every one of us had the first love when we first come to know the gospel. We all get excited, you know? Right? The first love was Pentecost. The first love was that fire that burns within us to know Jesus as our Savior. The first love was we said, oh, okay, so yes, I love the Word of God, I love Christ and you. But you know, no, long after that, a year, 2 years later, you start growing cold. Go back to the first love. This is the first thing that every Christian should do. Hi, Brother Henry. Come back to the Word. This is the first thing that's on every age is always back to this word. And this is the first church age. You know, Paul said, in fact, you can see this church was the best of all the seven. It was as bright as could be. Getting darker and darker and darker and darker and darker. He lost the first love. Because why? Man came to control. And then when they start controlling this, oh, this is not necessary, that one not necessary. Or baptism in any person of the Holy Ghost, you can do that. In the name of Jesus, you can also do that. You can throw water on the head also, you can do that. You can baptize a baby, you can do that, doesn't matter. Where does it come from? It's a man that controls and gives the idea to everybody. Without any, what we call, proof of the scripture. You see this man in California, camping. He said the Christ is coming. I mean, the war is coming to an end in May, but it didn't happen, so now he pushed it to October. The Bible, you ask him, show me where it says that you know the hour and the time and the day. Tell me where in the Bible can you show me that you know the day. The Bible says nobody knows the day and the hour is coming. So anybody who said that he knows, he's a liar. And that man is a liar. I don't care who he is. Do you understand what I'm saying? And yet he is so bold enough to contradict the word of God. And how man can be so blind as to follow him and believe him? Look at Benny Hinn. Fire! And everybody, you ever seen that, don't you? Why did I find the Bible? They push people. And his prophecy, doesn't a dime, they fail. They prophesied that Jesus will appear on the stage in his crusade. I think it was in Nairobi. He never came to pass. And people still follow him. You know what? I told you one thing. That the day you find that somebody, if I ever teach you something contrary to whatever, you better leave me. If I say anything that's ridiculous and not Bible based, you better leave me. The day I saw when I heard the message, when I understood what Brother Graham said, just make the one statement. I asked God to show it to me, and when I got show me that God is one, not three persons, I left that church immediately. Never go back. I don't go back to the woman. The Bible says when a man goes back to his woman, it's like a dog. You know a dog? Rah! Really eat it up. Never see a dog eat his own woman? Blah! The human beings are doing that spiritually, and they don't know it. Right? So this is the church age. There's a message. Here is a message. You can read it all for yourself. Every one of these has a message. Until here you see getting darker, 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 darker. Until here. Until this last, we are in this last age. Now, God denomination will tell you that, oh, these seven churches in the Bible is nothing to do with ages. It's nothing to do with the age. Oh, it is. Because this is where we find another one in the book of Matthew chapter 13. If you can understand. Ministry are not given to these people out there in the denomination. Why? They have closed the door to Jesus Christ. That's not why the book of Revelation, the last age. Look at it. Chapter 3, the last part. We read from, verse 15. I know your works. You're not a cold nor hot. I will you a cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew out my mouth. Because you say I am rich, increased with good, and have need of nothing, and know not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. True, isn't it? The church of riches, huh? Look at it. Look at the city house. Look at, what else? A new creation. Look at it. Look at it. Oh my goodness, they buy. I heard that somebody bought the whole Suntec. Wow! Wow! God is a multi-millionaire! He wants to buy a property, he wants to buy the whole island of Singapore! Good, man! You like it, don't you? Wow, you know that? Rob Prophecy, you want a Mercedes Benz car? God is a multi-millionaire, he'll give one to you. Ask for it. You see, this is all the preaching about prosperity.
But the people that go to church,
how rich men, lawyers, doctors go there.
You know, they like the message, yeah, you're good, yeah, they enjoy it.
And you think they're going to heaven.
I can tell you that I don't know, I just give a percentage. How many people do you think now they have experienced the born again experience?
You'd be surprised.
Huh? Years ago a survey has been done, huh? Many of them say, ah, turn secular when maybe I grow older. When I'm young, you know, young people like to enjoy all that thing. Disco music. 3D. What are they showing there? You need 3D glasses to see. Look at this. God is not in mega churches. God never has mega size church. What did Yahweh say? He did say, blessed are thou, mega flock of sheep. He says, blessed are thou, little flock. Little flock. Fear not, little flock. Mega. You know, those preachers are the ones that stand before God in Matthew chapter 7. And God says, go to hell. Read it and see for yourself. Depart from me. I never knew you. You're workers of iniquity. Because you don't preach my word. You don't believe it. You only preach for your own self. Gain your popularity. Create an image for yourself. And that's not my image, Jesus said. We are supposed to look into the Bible and see the image of Christ in us. Is that the image of Christ? You tell me. Today people don't preach the way they should preach. Why? They have lost the power. That's what religion is. What do you say here? Yeah, I'm rich in grace with good, I'm need of nothing. Oh yeah, they need of nothing, huh? But the Bible says, know you not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked and you don't even know it? I counsel you to buy me gold, try in the fire. The gold that tries in the fire is the word of God. And thou may be rich, and whatever that you may be clothed, and that thy shame and thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes that you may see. Oh yeah, you need the anointing of the word of God to see the word of God, to see the truth. So that you expose you to your real self. Behold, he said, as verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. That's what we are now being done. A lot of people don't like it. Jesus said, as many as I love, I will rebuke and I will chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. A lot of people, you see in the church, you speak something about a young woman, sister. The woman say, no. They always say, you know, sister, I'm not against you. But I have to toe the line. Right? It's all about the Jezebel spirit. What about putting on makeup? Yes, no? They put on makeup. And you know the first woman that was fed to the dog who put on makeup was Jezebel. She sit and spent hours in front of the mirror. It's in the book of Kings. Every day she would dye her hair, decorate her hair, and make her and paint her face. I don't know how long it is. You know how many people spend hours painting their face? You don't know, huh? Some people don't think the people do. Yeah. They get on in the morning, but I think, 1 minute, finished. Then what was? They sit at the dressing table half an hour. Mascara, the pencil line. Then they see one hair here, they pluck it out, draw the eye shadow, what? The panda eye. Then the pop, 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 pop. Then the lipstick. You know, it takes, I can't tell you that. It does not take 5 minutes. It does not take 5 minutes. Do you know? Then they open up the chest, treasure chest box of, ding, 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 ding. And there's another one. See which one fit her dress, her style. You know, the Bible talks about this earring. So we almost, you know, on the train today, I was very surprised. To see, sitting there, I see these two young person there. I thought it was a young man and a young woman. They're just flitting along, you know, with the camera. Everyone looking. So I was looking. So this man, because the hair of this guy was crop up upward, huh? Here is a bit long up to here. Here looks like a man, you know. Then he was wearing a t-shirt, very tight. So you know, there was this girl he wore because he was wearing a mini skirt, but the other one was wearing a short. So first, young man and woman flitting in there. Then he turned around, I thought he got a muscle, you know. Actually he was tightening her breast with very tight. And it was a woman! You know, and he's got an earring, so I thought he was, of course, maybe a boy. You see a lot of young men putting an earring, huh? The person doesn't know the what's happening. In the first place, this making a hole here, the Bible is against about this making a hole. The sign of this hole in your ear is the slave sign. You are a slave for life to a master. That's what the Bible talks about. The Bible says, don't cut your body, don't tattoo your body, because this is what a pagan does. Huh? And you know that people were superstitious. When a baby is born, it's a boy, right? In those days, the demon will come and take this boy away, or somebody will steal the boy away. So, poke a hole here, right? So the people say, oh, it's a girl. And poor fellow grow up, probably he thinks he's a girl, so he makes move like a girl. So that's a terrible thing that's being done. So you see, people will do that, spending that time, and Jezebel was thrown to the dock. You see, we are born into this world. The brother Pratap Singh in India, Delhi, used to say to those Indian sisters in Delhi, you know, the Hindustani, they all, many of them actually dress very dressy and all makeup. And brother Pratap Singh, you think that God make you? When you're born into the world, does God know when He make you and create you, your face is not beautiful enough that you have to adjust what God made? You know what I mean? You say, so, God make my face not beautiful enough. I want to make it more beautiful. Oh my goodness. I used to tell a story about, first time, years ago I used to see this Times magazine. In front of it, Max Factor. That time Max Factor was the number one market. You know what Max Factor, huh? I couldn't believe there was a photograph of this woman, half of it, half picture. That woman with Max Factor makeup, the same woman without. Huh? You don't know really it's true, huh? But it is true. Same woman without makeup and a woman, the same woman with the makeup. Wow! So I used to say that a man who married a woman so old without the makeup on a wedding night, that's a different story. Really, it's a different story. I can tell you that. You know. But this is what the Bible says. So, God will chasten. He will rebuild. Okay? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. No, that's where we are. Behold, I stand at the door. Now, why is Jesus knocking the door? Where was he? He was not inside the church. He was outside the church. They have kicked him out. That's right. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Oh, denomination use this to preach about knocking the door's heart, huh? That's okay. But if the truth is talking about the church age, this is the age that Christ has been completely pushed out of the church. That's why you have the ecumenical movement. The ecumenical movement. And unite all the churches together, formulate their own doctrine, their own creeds and dogma, and tweet, speak God in the face. Exactly the way they do. And they don't know it. And God said, I'll spew you out. You know how much they reject God if you don't think so? Look at my church, look! This building is worth $10 million. $1 billion. I bought a whole of Suntag. I bought a hold of RWS next time. Wow. What am I going to do? We need to know. Okay, let's quickly go on. 1 Corinthians 11:14 now. Just quickly now, I want to show this because people think that it's not important. Just based on grace. No. Brother, sister, every age, now all these ages, look here, on this chart here. Every age, there is a message. Okay? Like we say here, return to your first love. Right? Okay? And then the other one, or whatever, that maybe I can't remember. But here in the last one is that you need to come out of this system now. Okay? So every age, there is a message. And that message simply is this in 1 John 1:5. This then is the message that God is light. In Him is no darkness. In Him is no tradition. Okay? This then is the message that God is light. In Him is no darkness. So what do we want? Do you want to go into the Word of God because God is light? Because the Bible says God is light. As King David says, the Word of God is a lamp unto my pathway, is the light unto my feet. Is that right? Is it? It's a light. God's way is a light. It's a light. It's revelation. It's truth. And Jesus said, you know, no man will light a candle and then put it under a bushel. Because the light is supposed to shine the room. Huh? But if you cover it, how can you see? You know. So that's the purpose. So every age you need that message to come out, to come out, to come out. Every age has a message to get the people ready. Okay? There are many, many Christians here. Thousands and thousands of Christians. But not everyone is going to come out here in the rapture. So the same thing today. Not everyone of people who believe in Jesus Christ is going to make the rapture. The rapture is going to be so small a people, so small a group, it will be a secret. We already learned that. All the way from Genesis, all the way to Revelation. You can see that every time when there is a resurrection and an ascension up or rapture transformation, the people of the world doesn't know. Until later, then they found out. And so in this age, what do you think the message was given for? To prepare a people. And if you want to be prepared, then you have to follow the Word of God. Yes, grace gives you eternal life. As long as you are born again. But not every Christian who are born again are going up. Because why? They have not made themselves ready. Because in the book of Revelation, the last chapter, chapter 19, the Bible said, the bride or the wife hath made herself ready. Do you think the denomination Christians are ready? They're not. If they're not ready, then how can they be transformed? Because what, there is something that is coming that they need to know. That you and I need to know. Huh? That's what Abraham said, just wait. Where do you hear those voices? Those voices are someone thunders. It's mysterious, yes. A lot of people don't think that, you know, oh, there's kind of those things. But you know one thing? The Bible, as I said, the book of Revelation has become a very mysterious book to a lot of people. Huh? Very mysterious. Nobody understood a lot of things in the book of Revelation. There's a lot of guesswork in it. But when Brother Man came along and God sent so many angels, said, go back east to where you are, to Jeffersonville, Indiana. And it will be given to you to know. And that's just why the first horse that came out. When I was in denomination, the first horse that came out of the book of Revelation was what? The white horse with a bull. We thought that it was, we thought that it was this false religion trying to conquer, it was a peaceful move in the world. Then the black horse, the red horse that came, it's war. The war will be fighting, right? Have you seen a movie called The Four Horsemen of Apocalypse? That's what they're trying to generate. Then the third horse, the black horse. Oh, they say there's a lot of famine in the world, a physical famine, huh? Alright? And then the last one, the pale horse, and a lot of death because of Palestine pestilences. But these four horses has nothing to do with those things. It has to do with the church. And these four horses are the same spirit of Satan, and the person that sat on the horse is the same person, and that's none other than papacy. The Pope. Do you understand what I said? So now this book has become an open book. But how can you, in the denomination, understand it when you are still hooked on to tradition, hooked on to darkness? You cannot. So grace is yours. Free gift is yours in Jesus Christ. But you won't make the bride to get out of what is to come, then you better prepare yourself. And that's not why. Why do we talk about how we dress? Because the Bible said so. Because there must be an identity. Is it not like, why do the hospital nurses of different hospitals now, they dress differently? Last time they all wear white. Now they want to identify with this hospital group. And the hospital group. Yes. You know. So you need to be identified. What do we then, if we are Christian, we don't dress the way we dress, we ought to dress, something is wrong with us. You agree with that? The Bible has what we call an order. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 14. Alright, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. Do not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. So why would I talk about long hair? Now the brother said it's not about long hair. I know, salvation is not about long hair. If you want to make a bride, you need to follow the direction that God gave you. Not your own opinion. Remember the song, Psalm 61? Huh? When I cry unto you, O Lord, huh? When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. What a rock that is higher than you? Because the rock represents the revelation. A rock that is the rock of Christ, the revelation. Higher than your own opinion. Don't tell me your revelation. I don't need to keep my long hair, my hair long. I don't need to dress right. I can behave how I behave. It's okay for this, it's okay for that as a Christian. Hey brother and sister, if you are not led to the rock that is higher than your own opinion, you are in trouble. Do you know that? You are in trouble. Even Moses says, Lord, show me your face. Show me. I want to see you. God said, no, you will not be able to see me now. But I'll tell you what, I'll crack you in the rock. Then when I pass by, you'll see my back. You know? Peter, or the disciple. Oh, the man said, I am a man. Oh, they say, Jeremiah, this and that, and this prophet, and that prophet. Okay, but who do you say I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter, God and flesh and blood have not tell you who I am. You know, it's not your opinion or your guessing. But my Father has given you the rock that is higher than you, than your own flesh. Do you think you know, do you think your flesh, you can know Jesus Christ who He is? No, you can't. So upon this rock, I'll build my church. It's upon this revelation of the word truth that God is going to take you up. So is long hair important? Woman should have long hair, man should have short hair. But people today, they don't. That's why when we need to realize and do what is right. It takes a little while for you to understand this. But don't contravene the word of God if it is for yourself, make ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. Let's go on. 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2. Let's quickly finish that off. 1 Timothy 2. Verse 9. In like manner, also that woman adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearl or costly apparel. You see, a lot of people go to church and they go, God is a millionaire, I'm going to go and dress it. And woman wearing with all the gold and all the gold ring and earring. And what is going to do with that? Be serious. The Bible says, be serious. Modest apparel. Don't overkill. Now, another day you need to come to church dressed like a beggar, huh? You dress proper. You know? If you have a necklace, your father, grandfather give it to you. You want to put it, wear it, wear it inside. Don't go to hang around outside. As if you want, as if you got a medallion for your first, your race. Huh? Okay, put your necklace inside there. You know, you got the same thing with the Indian. The Indian, when they married, they given a gold necklace, huh? A gold chain. Some of the people that don't use ring, they use gold chain. So they can just wear inside there. Alright? Don't be like some monk. They come out wearing those big rosary thing and all around there, whatever, all the Lutheran priest with the chain, with the cross. Dress and behave and dress right. Okay? Make sure that, of course, you button your shirt. Woman especially. Oh my goodness. Nowadays, young people, what happened to them? You know, I have not been down to the city most of the time until I went for my physio. I have to go down to a Raffles place, take the MRT. Everywhere you see young people come out wearing miniskirts. And then they will show their, well, their breast. The curve. They want to expose. Even an elderly lady, 70 years old. What's wrong with people? You know, why? Satan has been using the human body, the female. That's why Satan has used Eve, knowing that she's the only one that can bring the woman, the man down. That's not why Hollywood is promoting this. Right? Even some of the games, the computer games. Huh? Oh, the woman, oh, very voluptuous. Of course, the men have always the muscle, huh? Don't expose your body. Cover your body. Okay? Alright, let's go on to 1 Peter 3:3. You're here to turn your Bible. You're not here to just to listen. Take the Bible and open it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this woman, in the old time, the holy one also who trust in God adorned themselves, being subjection in subjection unto their own husband. So we have woman's right. Woman's fighting for their rights. And where's the way of trouble we have today? And because of a lot of rascal in men, huh? A lot of men were rascal. That's not where you get this wedding or mismarriage, you have this marriage certificate. Before that, there's no need for marriage certificate. Because a lot of men marry a woman, after that chuck her away and said, that's not my wife, marry another one. So the woman charter came out with this marriage certificate thing to protect the woman. Right? The woman is okay, I'm for it. Alright? But all this thing about all the decoration, all this hell, please, we are Christian. We came to this world naked. We didn't bring anything with us. We are going into this world without anything. You're going all this thing, making you look beautiful? No. You think that you put a diamond earring around here, your face will sparkle? Or is it the diamond will sparkle, your face will sparkle? It won't be getting beautiful. That's all Paul says about it. Peter and Paul are talking about the spirit inside here, the meek and quiet spirit, humble spirit. God is looking for that. God is looking. Until Sarah, the next verse said about Sarah. He says, Sarah let on knew the God of Abraham. Remember, when the three men came, then Sarah knew. And God spoke the word, the following year she would give her name, she knew who that man was. You know, and there she became such a submission to the husband. And all things. Okay, now, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. There are many, many verses, but just these few and then. The woman shall not wear that which pertains unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do that are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, let's talk about garment a little bit as we close. Now you know, on my website you have seen. For those who are not, go to my website to read this article about man and woman's garment. Now I don't agree with the American idea. The American Christian think that the American standard are for everybody in the world. That's why they hate me when I wrote this article. I want to make us realize that in the Bible days, nobody wear trousers. Men don't wear trousers in Bible days. Have you seen Moses wear trousers? That would be funny when Pastor Heston come out and ask Moses wear any trousers. What a mean? Huh? Yes. You know, everybody knows that just wear a piece of cloth, a wrap around themselves. So that's called skirt. Today, the American is quite silly. When I wear a sandal, they say that it's a woman's garment. They don't know nothing about Asian. And they want to force it upon everyone. We want to look into the Bible. The Bible is Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, say what? Garment that pertains to a woman, garment that pertains to a man. So when we look at the garment as a whole, you know what a garment is? Something that you wear. It didn't say anything about the trousers or the shirt or the shoe. No, the garment as a whole. Right? Okay, today if I walk into the church with a pretty red shoe that has two high heels on it, what do you think about me? What do you think about me if I wear a nice, pretty, tapered shoe and then said 4-inch high? And I walk into the church like that. What do you think of me? What will you think of me? He said, you are there, my goodness, Bergen has gone local. We better leave the church now. You see, that shoe will be a woman's shoe, right? What do you think so? Yes. Obviously. There are certain shoes that are men's shoes, certain shoes that are women's shoes. That's obvious. So when we talk about the garment, this is what my mother-in-law wear. Okay? And the American say, hey, my mother is wearing a men's garment. I said, you want to wear that? He's puzzled. He said, oh, because she's wearing a trouser. I said, look, the trousers is only a word. Okay? It's only a word. But Brother Bram said, you cannot wear trousers. I said, Brother Bram said, what trousers was he referring to? You need to understand the spirit of the prophet when he speaks like that. Brother Bram is not in favor of a black marrying a white. Is that right? Do you know that? He said that. Why? I understand because the child that is born is coffee with milk, as you all know. Will have a problem when he goes to school, right? Yes or no? Yes. Here in Singapore, the same thing. If a child goes to school, half Indian, half Chinese, hey, your father is up in there, and then there, whatever you want to call it. And your mother is Jin Jong Cheng. Ah! I'm going to child will be teased, isn't it? They will feel disheartened. You know, but the Bible is not, doesn't say that you cannot marry it. It's only the society. Do you get what I'm talking about? Yes. What the Bible forbids intermarriage is interfaith marriage. That is, a white man who is a Christian marry a white woman who is a Buddhist. The Bible says forbid. Be careful about this. We want to make sure that what we are doing is right. I also want to know that we mess up the whole life. Okay, so now we look further down now. Okay, here are some examples. Here you see, this is what we call a garment like this. This is a little bit of trousers. And then he's looking at the tunic. Look at the this is called tunic, huh? The brows, huh? Okay. You always know that when you stand up, the brows will always cover the crotch. You know the crotch. Crotch. Not crotch, sorry. Crotch. Okay, the crotch. Why? Very simple. When you ever see a woman, look at the man also, huh? Look at the man here. You see how long that is. But this, of course, is a man's sample. The way this is cut and the girl's, how it is cut, how it's made. Okay, look at this woman here, wearing these jeans. Now look at her crotch. Some may ever see a woman wear so tight that you can see nobody. People will look at it. The human body, I'm not here, I don't put punches right here. Let me tell you this. The Bible says in the midst of the garden, right, the two trees exist there. The midst of the human body is where we have a sexual reproductive organ, right? When a woman wears tights like this, every man will look at that part. The first place everybody look at, not the face, but the middle part. You agree with me? Don't say no. Because I know. Because you girls also do the same when you look at men. When you see a man as very, very, very tight, it comes in. You look at the face, you look at the middle part. Are you not guilty? That's what the devil is pointing to the Eve. The God said, we're not supposed to eat of every tree. The God said, we're not supposed to touch that one in the garden, in the midst of the garden. Think about it. So that's, you know what, the Chinese, ancient China, when they make the sanfu, the crouch, the what they call the brows, is always covering the crouch. Go back and see. Look at it. But today the American has no sense. Look at how she dressed. This is what Barbara says. The woman should not wear this kind of trousers. Power dressing. This is not the kind of dress a woman should wear. Because it belongs in the first place to the man. Because women don't wear
this kind of chances, even before the First World War.
After the First World War, then the woman became changed. Ha! Levi Strauss comes in. Levi Strauss make the jeans. And the jeans became a what? A miner's cloth became something that is an identification about American life. That's the reason why I don't like young people, especially men, to wear jeans to church. Because that jean is a sign of Americans' free spirit. They just go anywhere with a jean. Go to church with jeans. Go to work with jeans. Go anywhere with jeans. You can go out there in jeans, but don't go to church with jeans. There is a place for everything. It's a mark on that thing. So wear some, and then there are some people that came in, come to church, wear cargo pants. You know what cargo pants are? And that's something I don't know why people wear that. No cargo pants are. A trouser with one pocket here, one pocket here, one pocket here, one pocket on the side, two at the back. You know the cargo pants? I don't know what he's carrying. Huh? Catching chicken or steal somebody's thing and put it on a cargo pants. One for iPhone, one for iPad, one for what? You know, whatever they have. I mean, there's a place for you to dress, come to church, and dress properly. Dress that you will not go to church. Hey, I don't think you want to go and see the president wearing cargo pants or wearing what you call a jean if he has some kind of function. Right? If he has some kind of function. Okay, somebody's wedding. Okay, you're in a 5-star hotel. Wear a cargo pants and wear a t-shirt. Life goes by the cook. You know, there are certain things that we should dress and have some sense in us. He said, the world is all confused. Don't be conformed to the image of the world. That's what the Bible is trying to tell us. You got it? So when you dress, this is how a woman dresses. Don't say trousers. You see how baggy that is? Okay, let's go down quickly now. Okay, you see the shampoo? How the shampoo has changed? How some have changed now? It's getting higher and getting thinner here. And these people are wearing higher. This is influenced by the British and the American. Do you know? That's why the British always bring all this rubbish into other countries. You know, that's the way that, you know, those times when people would wear baggy, long, because we all say this is an ama. And that's just why my mom used to say to me, say, why your wife has long hair? It looked like asam. Ama, you know, the servant, you know. So because of the Chinese, so to me, say, the Bible asks us to do that, and they become the Chinese, were there because they're awesome, so we are identified with them. Don't have this kind of ideas. Okay, now, you want to wear trousers like this. These are trousers. Think how long this tunic is. They cover all the way to the knees. Or this Indian, you see, this is a bit modern, huh? But it's covered down to the crotch. This is like this long. This is Bengali dress. This is actually the cheap hour, how they should be with the whole thing long here. But this is Sangfu. Now, I mean Cheongsam. The Cheongsam, look at what happened to the Cheongsam. This is, the Cheongsam wasn't originally like this. It came from this cheap hour. But what happened to this? They have cut the sleeve. You see? Very modest from the front. Or on the side, it goes all the way up here. You ever seen that? What they do? So let us be watchful about that. Kilok. That's a kilok. This is not, I know some of you young girls wear that. This is actually a trousers cut short. Your father's one you cut into half and you wear it. This is actually not a kilok. Kilok should be more flare, more like a skirt. And make it more sense of you wearing more. I mean, this today's modern dress, but we don't want to be conformed to that. This is how it's supposed to be. That's how trousers, short pants, Mongolia short, brief panties. Huh? In those days, people would not wear panties. Huh? In Bible days, there's no panties, no underwear. Men don't wear underwear. Only the priests were told to make an underwear, make breeches like that.
And so it is tied to the knees.
Alright, usually it's going right to the knees, as this one you see here. It's this one here, okay? Right here. That's what this is, to cover up their nakedness. So this is a man that you find here, wearing a skirt. This is Fiji. When you go to Fiji, we will see that. They wear the sulu. Okay, it's just like a sarong. Okay? This man is wearing a skirt. But that's the way they wear in those days. Quite funny to know it. Okay? And of course, Roman days, they wear shorts here. Of course, that's how the whole thing is on. Alright, let's close with that. And now let us look at two more verses of scriptures and we close. Judges 16, verse 19. This is Delilah and Samson. Samson, they try to get Samson to show, to tell them about his strength. But he always lied about it. But finally, he succumbed when Delilah made him slip upon her knees and she called for a man and caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his hair. And she began to afflict him and his strength went out from him. So the moment that Samson was seduced to put on Delilah's knee. That's why knee is a sexual symbol. Every one of us came out between our mother's knees. Do you understand? Got it? Knee is always a sexual symbol. You nurse a child on your knees. That's why he always said, you seduce a man using your knees. So cover up your knees. That's most important. Okay? And let's go to, finally, two more verses. Matthew 24:28. So if we are going to get ready for the coming of Jesus Christ, this is what we're going to happen. Matthew 24:28. It says, this is the last day, about the end time, what's going to happen. Verse 27 says, when the lightning come out of the east and shine even unto the west, so shall the coming or the parousia of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And this is talking about this hour of time. Okay? Where the revelation, the brightness of the light of Christ coming, revelation of His Word, is come to us, then we feast on the carcass. Now, the word carcass here is the word that refers, in the Greek word, is a toma. Toma means an animal that is slain for food. So therefore he says, wheresoever the food of God is, the fresh slain food of God is, there will the eagles be gathered together. So are you an eagle? If you are an eagle, that's what you want to do, is to go to the food. Go to where there is freshly slain food. Do you understand? And this is what we should be doing now. Because if you cannot do it now, then the next verse is not for you. Luke chapter 17, verse 36. And we close with these two verses. Luke 17, verse 36 and 37. Alright? Two men shall be in the field. The one will be taken and the other left. And the answer is unto him, well, Lord, and he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, there the eagle will be gathered together. This is soma, the whole body. Right? So one will be taken, the other life. Where to, Lord, the one is taken? Where the whole body is. You understand? But when the lightning of the message comes to us and lit up the whole heaven, lit up where we are sitting now. We are sitting in how many places? Don't forget. Are you not sitting in how many places? Yes or no? Yes. So then where we are sitting in how many places with this illumination of the Word of God, Then we eat the word of God as eagle. That is to prepare ourselves for His coming. When He comes, then where the body will be gathered together, one be left behind, the other taken. So which one do you want to be? That's the one message given to us for one thing, for the preparation of our departure. Because you are going home. And you cannot go home in a rapture without the token. You need to have that token. I'm not talking about the blood. I'm talking about the spirit of the blood of the word that was shed for you. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the word. We thank you, Lord, for today. We ask that you break down further this word of life, O Lord, to the hearers, to those that have learned. May each and every one of us, Lord, search the scriptures, Lord. We find those things that I have spoken in days past, Father, to your saints of old. And they have learned, Lord, so let us in this day learn of it too. And we ask that, Lord, you help us to prepare ourselves, Father. Make ourselves ready for the coming of our Lord. We commit this day to you now in Jesus' name.